Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are looking at the final section of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There are several sections that make up the chapter. It opens with an extended description of Paul's life and ministry, his joys and sorrows, trials and humiliations, the good and the bad areas of ministry, followed by an appeal for the Corinthians to open their hearts to him. There was evidently a strained relationship between Paul and the Corinthians. Paul declares that in his writing, of course, he declares that the problem is not on his end. He has no animosity toward them. He has no obstacles in his warm relationship with them. But it's clear that some of them have obstacles in their relationship with Paul. And so he addresses that and tells them how to repair that strained relationship, which ought not to exist among believers in the body of Christ. And the final section of the chapter deals with this issue of the unequal yoke. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That, no doubt, is part of the reason why, and maybe the main reason why, some of the Corinthians did not have a warm-hearted attitude toward the Apostle Paul. They may have been in partnership in some way, some kind of a favorable relationship with false teachers who were trying to undermine the ministry of the Apostle Paul and were making innuendos and negative suggestions about Paul that some of the Corinthians were latching on to, and that, of course, affected their relationship with him. But whatever the reason, Paul declares in the last section of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that Christians must not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And we have been working on that section for several broadcasts, and we will return to it on this Tuesday, March 28. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for supporting this radio ministry on this station. We couldn't do it without your financial help. Well, the section we're talking about takes up five verses, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And concludes the chapter. And we have the following elements in this section. We have, first of all, the basic command. Short, sweet, right to the point. First part of verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The basic command. That is followed by a series of five questions, rhetorical in nature, that are designed to cause the Corinthians to think about this command, to apply its teaching to their own lives, to understand clearly what Paul is talking about when he says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And those five questions take up the remainder of verse 14, all of verse 15, and the first part of verse 16. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? After raising those five questions that will help the Corinthians to understand his meaning, he then closes out the section with a collection of citations. The last part of verse 16 and all of 17 and 18. Citations from the Old Testament. I called them citations rather than quotations because some of them are not a direct quote. They're something of a summary of statements that you can find several places in the Old Testament. So rather, some of them are direct quotations. You've got both here in this section. But they all constitute what we sometimes call proof texts. We teach something from the Bible, maybe make a statement, and then we prove it with various texts that support what we have said. They are called proof texts. Proof texting is legitimate and valid when it's used correctly, and as we know, it is sometimes used illegitimately, taking a text out of context to try to prove something that actually is not what the Bible is saying at all. But you can be sure that the Apostle Paul never uses proof texting illegitimately. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ, and what he is writing is being superintended and guarded by the Holy Spirit. It is the word of God as much as it is the word of Paul. And so he goes through these citations. He says in verse 16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you, he says, are the temple of the living God, as God has said. And here he begins his citations. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. A collection of citations from a number of Old Testament books. Then he follows that with this quotation from Isaiah 52:11. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. So now we have a clear understanding of what Paul is talking about. This unequal yoke, among other things, it can apply in several areas of life, but among other things, clearly means separate yourself from ungodly religion, from whatever is unclean. Disobedience to this command will forfeit your fellowship with God. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you. So, if you'll obey this, separating yourself from defiled religion, you will enjoy close fellowship with God. If you disobey this, you will forfeit close fellowship with God. It's pretty simple, isn't it? And then finally, quoting from two more Old Testament texts, Isaiah 43:6 and 2 Samuel 7:14, he pronounces the reward for obedience. It's the last part of verse 17, I will receive you, and then verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God will receive you. God will be a father to you, not become one, but will be one, will act toward you in that relationship which already exists if you are a child of God. That's where the very term child of God comes from, because you have a relationship with God as your heavenly Father. But when that relationship is strained, God is not being a father to you. He is your father, but he's not acting in a fatherly way toward you because of your disobedience, at least not in a warm fatherly way toward you. So, obey and come back into the warm fellowship of your heavenly Father. And you will then be his sons and daughters, not become, but you'll be in a right relationship with him as his sons and daughters. And that is a emphatic declaration, a promise, declares the Lord of hosts, a rare term in the New Testament for Almighty God. You will, in other words, experience full richness of the believer's relationship with God. And to do that, you've got to obey this text. Now, there are a lot of things to apply, to clarify and apply this text, and we're going to do that both in what remains in our time today, and again on the broadcast tomorrow, before we finish completely this chapter, move on to chapter 17. But one thing you need to understand, when Paul is talking about false religion, he's not talking only about pagan religions, the worship of Zeus or Baal or some of the gods that were found in the Bible, in Bible times, I guess I should say. He's not talking about that only, though that, of course, is included, but certainly don't join the temple of God with idols. Don't try to involve yourself both in the worship of the true God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and then also hang on to your community idol worship, that which is part of your family heritage and so forth. Some people are very prone to do that. They want to put a foot in each side of the equation. And that's exactly what Paul is saying not to do. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I mean by that, don't be unequally yoked together in your religious commitments or your religious activities or religious relationships. That displeases God highly. And if you do that, you're going to forfeit a good relationship with God. You're not going to enjoy that father-son and father-daughter relationship, which otherwise is yours as your heritage as a Christian, a born-again believing Christian in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do that. But he's not simply talking about the pagans and pagan idolatrous worship in Corinth, of which the Corinthian believers would sometimes be tempted to involve themselves in, going back to the temple for, if not to worship, as openly to worship, at least to involve themselves in the communal meals that involved family and community. It's awful hard to pull away from those relationships entirely, but don't do that. Don't be unequally yoked together in this way. But you've got to understand, he's also talking about corrupted versions of Christianity. And that, of course, in the context is clear because of these false teachers. But back to that again. These false teachers were not espousing worship of idols. They weren't teaching any of the pagan religions that the Corinthians had been exposed to in their youth. False teachers were those who were distorting the message of the gospel. They were claiming to be Christians, but they were distorting the truth about the gospel. And Judaizers are very much in the outskirts of almost every one of Paul's epistles. They're there trying to influence the people of God wherever Paul has planted a church. Judaizers, people who claim to be Christians, but they keep pointing people back to the Mosaic customs in order to be saved in some cases, or in order to have the right form of Christianity. In order to have a right relationship with God, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to keep the laws of Moses, the dietary laws of Moses, and so forth. And that's what Paul is talking about. Don't be unequally yoked together with things that claim to be Christian, but really aren't. Now, that's where the rubber really meets the road in our day. You've got to be discerning. You've got to recognize that some claims of Christianity, some churches and expressions of Christianity, as they call it, expressions of what is called Christianity, are actually wrong about the gospel, and therefore they're a different religion altogether. They are not Christian. They call themselves Christian, but they're not. Don't be unequally yoked together with that. That's the danger. That's the sin. That's the violation. That's the command. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.